Welcome to Bhakti Samvijapa Conference. So today's class will be given by Supasagari Mataji in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter number 23 and verse number 17 onwards. Hare Krishna, so Supasagari Mataji, are you there on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I'm here.
Thank you, Mataji, very much for giving you valuable association. Please take over the call now. Hare Krishna.
Sure. Thank you, Mataji, for your kind introduction. And thanks to all the Matajis and the organizers on the call who make repeated attempts to actually give me these opportunities to purify myself. I really wish to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. And today, like Kaumadiki Mataji just mentioned, we are going to be discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 23rd chapter, verse 17 onwards. And I'll try to, depending on time, we can see how many verses we can cover. So I'll just go to the invocation prayers now. Om Jnana Simranathasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurasvishe Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraswaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse number 17 from the chapter 23. Yahara hridaye bhavankura haya tahate teka chinna sarva shastrikaya. If one actually has the seed of transcendental emotion in his heart, the symptoms will be visible in his activities. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Verse 18. Shantiravyartha kalatvam viraktirmana shunyata Ashabandha samuskantha namagane sadaruchihi ashakti tat gunakshane.
We cannot hear nothing.
Yeah. Let me check with her.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. Call got disconnected because I think I got a call from somebody, so I apologize for that. I was on verse 18 and 19 from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll just repeat it. Kshanti ravyartha kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata asha bandha samutkantha namagane sadaruchihi Ashakti Stadgunakhyane Priti Stadvasati Sthale Ityadayonu Bhavasyuhu Jata Bhavankurejane. Translation. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. Forgiveness, concern that time should not be wasted, detachment, absence of false prestige, hope, eagerness, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord, attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and affection for those places where the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavana. These are all called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person in whose heart the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. These 2 verses are found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1325-26. Actually, I would just stop here momentarily and discuss a few things. And then depending on how it goes, we can go through the following verses, which actually discuss these 9 symptoms, you know, which are manifest as a result of bhava bhakti. So these are discussed in the future verses with examples. So I just would like, because this is a kind of a change in the topic, I just wanted to do a brief summary of what we've seen so far, and then perhaps connect to the future, the verses in which come in the future. So in the previous verses, in fact 2 verses earlier, we see how sadhana bhakti is being summarized with the Adoshadha verse. I'll just repeat it for my own memory. In the beginning, there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotions intensify and finally there is an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. So these are the stages which are listed in the sadhana bhakti to come to the stage of bhava and prema. So if we see the scriptures, we normally, actually we study like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the Puranas. They have several examples of devotees who practice bhakti to Krishna. And in these examples, we see that the devotees are in different phases or different stages of bhakti or different levels of bhakti, so to speak. So what Srila Rupa Goswami has done is, he has in one sense researched all these literatures. I mean, they're all Nitya Siddhas, I mean, great personalities. And what he has done is he has given an ontological understanding, like Srila Prabhupada says, to all these different personalities who are actually mentioned in these scriptures. What I mean by that is, like I mentioned, the devotees described in our scriptures are in different stages of their sadhana or raganuga or bhava or prema, you know, like that. So many devotees' examples are given. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he has tried to actually group and categorize these devotees and given us like a very nice summary study to understand what phase or what stage of our bhakti, you know, these devotees are. So when we study this nectar of devotion, which Srila Prabhupada always emphasized, is like the handbook of for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because this nectar of devotion gives us a very deep understanding into what the process of bhakti is and how practically we can, you know, in one sense, gauge, or in fact we can see what stage, you know, we are in and where we need to go. So several examples are given in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If we see the chapters, that these examples are all, most of them derived from Srimad Bhagavatam, and some are from Puranas, like Padma Purana, Nardiya Purana, like that. So these examples are actually derived from these scriptures to actually enhance our understanding, to see what level or stage or what, at what level these devotees are. So basically, Srila Rupa Goswami has done this kind of a research study and given us in a very nice categorized pattern as to see what each and every devotee is doing in each phase of bhakti. So accordingly, we see that nectar of devotion, it's actually in Sanskrit, it's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sindhu means the ocean. And like we can understand, there are four sides of the ocean which are being discussed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu: the eastern, southern, western, and northern. So on the eastern part of the ocean, we discuss the Samanya Bhakti, or it is the general overview of the different types of devotional services. So in this, we have already seen how, through the chapters, through the preceding verses, we have seen that how, there was an introduction to what pure bhakti is, or what uttama bhakti is, and what characteristics or what symptoms are, present in a person who's actually practicing this kind of bhakti. So this is all discussed in the Eastern Ocean, and in the first wave of the Eastern Ocean. So the verses which give the definition of uttama bhakti and the characteristics of bhakti are discussed in these chapters. I'm not sure if I need to recap those. Okay, I'll just move on. So this sadhana bhakti, or this practice of devotional service, it can be divided into two parts. One is the very sadhana bhakti, in which one has to follow these different regulative principles under the guidance of a spiritual master. And this is called vaidhi. And another part of sadhana bhakti, it is called raganuga sadhana bhakti, as we have seen earlier. So in raganuga sadhana bhakti, the devotee has an attraction for the Lord and his pastimes and his activities. So this is mainly categorized in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as this kind of raganuga actually arises due to greed or lobha. That's what is mentioned. And the other kind of the sadhana bhakti, the vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which we go through, the first kind, that is due to regulated practice under the guidance of the spiritual master. So Rupa Goswami defines the first part of devotional practice, or vaidhi bhakti, as when there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master. So many examples are given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to define these levels of sadhana bhakti in the different devotees. I just like to quote three examples just to refresh our memories. First example, Narada Muni mentions this sadhana bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. He says to King Yudhishthira, "My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means. That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti." So this is the basic point that Srila Narada actually emphasizes, that yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshaya. So by any means, the guru actually guides the disciple into sadhana bhakti. The second example is given of the great sage Saint Ambarish Maharaj. Although a responsible king, he fixed his mind on Krishna, and Prabhupada says, similarly, anyone who tries to fix his mind in this way will rapidly make progress in successfully reviving his Krishna consciousness. The third example is given in the second canto, where Shukadev Goswami, he instructs Maharaja Parikshit as to what his course of action should be. Maharaj Parikshit was cursed, as we all know, to die within a week. So he sought the association of great sages, and actually he met Shukadev Goswami just a week before his death, and he gave in to this process of hearing and chanting and remembering God. So this is the third example which Prabhupada quotes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If one can chant and hear Hare Krishna and always remember Lord Krishna, then he's sure to become fearless of death, which may come at any moment. Then next, we move on to Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, like we already, like I mentioned, there is an automatic or, spontaneous, intense desire of love for the Lord. So Prabhupada says that this devotional service under the heading of Raganuga can be categorized into two types. One is sensual attraction and the other is called relationship. So one is conjugal love and the other is in the other kinds of relationship with Krishna. And he gives the examples. The gopis may be considered to be examples of spontaneous love and conjugal attraction. Similarly, King Kamsa was attracted to Krishna because of fear. Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna, and also we know the example of Sishupala. He was also very envious of Krishna. But then we see the family members of Krishna, or his the descendants of the Yadu dynasty, the Gopas and all, they were always thinking of him as one of their members. So Prabhupada says all of these different kinds of devotees have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna in different categories, and they achieve the same desired goal. So these are the different examples Prabhupada gives actually to us to understand the different categories of devotees. Now, I'm seeing you. Okay. There is an example from the Padma Purana, which is actually describing this Raganuga Bhakti. This is actually from the notes of Bhurijana Prabhu. I just extracted this. The story of a neophyte devotee who, in order to raise herself to the ecstatic platform, danced all night to invoke the Lord's grace upon her. She was named Chandrakanti. She danced and danced for the pleasure of the Lord. She wanted to attain a place in the Rasa dance with Krishna. So she went in front of the deity form of Krishna and danced all night and was finally elevated by the grace of Krishna to the Bhava platforms. So these were explanations of attaining Bhava Bhakti through sadhana. So the next point where we see is there are different ways to attain this Bhava Bhakti. And the next category is how to attain this special this Bhava Bhakti by the special mercy of the Lord. Sometimes it is found that without undergoing any devotional process, one all of a sudden develops devotions for Lord Krishna. This sudden development of devotional attitude in a person must be understood as a special mercy of Krishna or the special mercy of his devotee. This is the second way Prabhupada says. But one should not sit around and wait for the special mercy of the Lord. One may receive an honorary degree of a university without going through all the different classes in the university. But one will not just sit around and wait upon this honorary degree to fall upon him. That may happen or it may never happen, because it is very rare to achieve such a special mercy. So one has to endeavor to follow these different practices of sadhana bhakti and, slowly come up to this level of attainment of bhava, which will actually come through by kripa, which is the mercy of the devotee, or by the special mercy of the Lord. The following examples here, which we can discuss now, will give how the Lord, through his own devotees, he gave them the bhava bhakti. He bestows bhava bhakti by the association of devotees. Krishna himself bestowing bhava bhakti is very, very rare. Generally speaking, are the devotees who do this. even when Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, he tells Arjuna, I will bestow my mercy upon you, and I will protect you, and I will give you the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is actually making an exception here to Arjuna, that he is giving this kind of a kripa directly to his devotee. But this kind of direct mercy of Krishna is very rare. Another instance where Srila Prabhupada gives another example where Lord Krishna is directly in bestowing this bhava bhakti is to Narada. This is an extract from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Krishna says to Narada, O best of the Brahmanas, I wish that you may develop unalloyed devotional service to me, which is full of transcendental bliss and all auspiciousness. So this is one more example, which is just like the honorary degree or the costless mercy of the Lord who grants the bhava bhakti to the devotee. Then also Krishna can grant, can award bhava bhakti with his glance. The example of glancing is given as when the inhabitants of Jangala province saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. They were so stricken with feeling that they could not withdraw their glance from him. So the Lord also can award this bhakti through his glance. And another form of bhava bhakti which the Lord awards is from the heart. He awards this bhava bhakti in the heart of the devotee through the heartfelt wishes of the Lord. So the Lord actually manifests this bhava bhakti in the heart of a devotee. So the example is given here. Narada, he tells Vyasadeva, you have a son who is the greatest devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is referring to Shukadeva Goswami here. And I can observe, Narada is saying to Vyasadeva, that I can observe that without any following of the regulative principles of devotional service, he is already enriched with many of the symptoms achieved by the execution of devotional service after many, many births. This means, because Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb, and he was already in this exalted platform, and inside the womb of his mother, he could not achieve the glance of the Lord, nor did the Lord talk to him, and by his words benedict him with bhava bhakti. So the only option that remains is that just by the well wishes of the Lord, he developed the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. So this is the third example, like we saw, how this bhava bhakti, because we are discussing this topic of the different manifestation of the symptoms of bhava, you see how the mercy of the Lord is actually in action, comes into play while awarding this bhava bhakti. So just to summarize, the first one is through the mercy of the Lord automatically, like how he actually blesses Narada. The second one is through the glancing of the Lord, the inhabitants of the Jangala province. The third one is just by the best wishes of the Lord that this bhava bhakti manifests in the heart of the devotee. And for this, the example of Shukadeva Goswami is given. Then, there are the examples of Prahlad Maharaja and the hunter Mrigari. By the mercy of Narada Muni, now next we are moving on to the award of bhava bhakti by the association or by the grace of a devotee. So far we saw how the Lord actually awards this bhava bhakti. Now this bhava bhakti, we are going to see examples of how devotees actually, in the association of devotees, great devotees can award this bhava bhakti. So one example is given of Prahlad Maharaja. So Prahlad Maharaja, when he was still in the womb, actually Narada Muni was reciting all these the science of self-realization to his mother, and he was sitting and listening. So that's how he got, even in the womb of his mother, he got the bhava bhakti straight from the lotus mouth of Sri Narada. And also Narada, he actually transformed this hunter Mrigari. This is also an example given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and where this hunter Mrigari, just by listening to the words of Sri Narada Muni, he attains the platform of bhava bhakti. He has these different symptoms, you know, like the sattvika bhava symptoms like that. Those are actually expressed by Mrigari, and he is immediately catapulted to the stage of bhava bhakti. So we see that how different methods are there to actually reach the state of bhava bhakti. So ultimately then the question arises, so why do you do sadhana bhakti if the bhava bhakti is actually only awarded in these ways? One is by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of the devotees. Then what is the use of this sadhana bhakti? So Srila Prabhupada explains that this sadhana bhakti has to be done even when you are in a raganuga platform. You know, sometimes we wonder, if the person has a natural or spontaneous attraction for Krishna, why does he or she have to follow the vaidhi bhakti? You know? But then we see that only by the association of devotee or by the causeless mercy of Lord that this can be, the bhava bhakti stage can be achieved. So even though a person may be in the raganuga platform or a vaidhi, you know, sadhaka platform, vaidhi sadhaka, or who is following the regulative principles, he does need to take the shelter of a guru, because the guru is the one who can actually, by the association of the guru, he can be catapulted, like how Narada Muni, he actually pushed Prahlad and Mrigari to the stage of bhava. So similarly, these, under the guidance of the guru, even though if you are a Raganuga Bhakti, you need to take the shelter of a guru to actually reach the stage of bhava bhakti. So the second wave, as we saw in the nature of devotion, this actually discusses sadhana bhakti. So in the sadhana bhakti, we see that, you know, the two kinds of vaidhi bhakti, like we just discussed, the vaidhi sadhana bhakti and the raganuga bhakti, what are the different characteristics of it, what must a person do as part of the regulative do's and don'ts, you know, to get actually progress in this sadhana path. All these details are discussed very nicely in the second wave of the Eastern Ocean. The third wave of the Eastern Ocean, the overview, have already seen earlier, this Eastern Ocean is actually giving us an overview of the whole bhakti process, the different stages of bhakti and things like that. So the first one gives us, like I mentioned, the definition and the characteristics of pure devotional service. The second wave in the Eastern Ocean, it gives insight into sadhana bhakti and the two kinds of sadhana bhakti. The third one, the third wave of the Eastern Ocean, it gives the overview of bhava bhakti. So we this overview of bhava bhakti is just like a teaser Rupa Goswami gives in the third wave of the Eastern Ocean. So it does not go into too much depth as to what this bhava bhakti is. He just gives the definition. And this is where, in this part of the third ocean, third wave of the Eastern Ocean, is where this verse, which we just saw in the CC Madhya 18 and 19, Shantir Avyatha Kalatvam Viraktir Mana Sunyata, that verse is actually being discussed. So this is in the third wave of the Eastern Ocean, where just an overview of Bhava Bhakti is given. And then the fourth wave of the Eastern Ocean, it discusses Prema Bhakti, the next stage or the next level. So the Eastern Ocean basically gives us an idea or overview of the different stages of bhakti. And then we see that the Southern Ocean, which comes next, that actually discusses this Bhava Bhakti in greater detail. So the different, like the different bhavas, they are all discussed in great detail in the Southern Ocean, like Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, Sthayi Bhava. So we see in the Southern Ocean, when a devotee reaches the stage of Sthayi Bhava, so this Sthayi Bhava is actually a very condensed form of Bhava or emotions, as Prabhupada translates Bhava into emotions. So this is a very condensed form of Bhava in which the devotee is in a permanent ecstatic mood, and that is the actual, the first manifestation of prema. So this prema, or which is in loving relationships to the Lord, these are all discussed, you know, the first primary five loving relationships to the Lord are discussed in the Western Ocean of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then the secondary indirect loving relationships are discussed in the Northern Ocean of the
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these are, this is how Srila Rupa Goswami has actually compiled the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu into different divisions. So now we are still on the third wave of the first ocean, which is the Eastern Ocean, which just gives us an overview of Bhava Bhakti, that is devotional service and ecstasy. And then these symptoms, the following nine symptoms, the nine symptoms which we just read are actually being elaborated in detail. So we'll move on to the next verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya, verse 20, chapter 23, verse 20. Enava priti ankura yandra chitte haya prakritakshobhe tanrakshobanahi haya. If love for Krishna in a seedling state has fructified in one's heart, one is not agitated by material things. So we see that when this love for Krishna in this mode of bhava, when it is fructified in a devotee's heart, he is not agitated or he is not disturbed by anything material, which was mentioned in the previous verse where we saw the symptoms. So here we'll just move on to the next verse. Tamopayatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha devi dhrita chittamishe dvijoparshrata kuhata sakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnu gata. O Brahmana, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Purport. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19:15, spoken by Maharaja Parikshit while he was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, expecting to be bitten by a snake bird, summoned by the curse of a Brahmana boy named Sringi, who was the son of a great sage named Shamika. News of the curse was conveyed to the king, who prepared for his imminent death. Many great saintly persons, sages, brahmanas, kings and demigods came to see him in his last days. Maharaja Parikshit, however, was not at all afraid of being bitten by the snake bird. Indeed, he requested all the great personalities assembled to continue chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu. So the first example we see is of Maharaja Parikshit. And what was the first symptom we just read? The first symptom is kshanti, or forgiveness. So we see here that Maharaja Parikshit, even though he was cursed by this young Brahmana boy who was very immature in one sense. You know, Maharaja Parikshit was such a great and noble king, as we all know, but he was cursed by Sringi. Even though he was cursed, he had the magnanimity to just accept the curse as the Lord's order and forgive the young Brahmana boy, even though it was not actually such a big a crime on the part of Parikshit Maharaj. But still, you see, the heart of the devotee, he just accepts it as the Lord's command to him, and he forgives the other person. So oftentimes we wonder as how we can, forgive somebody who has wronged us. So here we see in practice how Parikshit Maharaj, he just takes everything as the ordain of the Lord. And that is perhaps the only way we can forgive somebody truly from the heart, is if we believe and we also trust that this is all the happening by the, like we always know, that the devotees' lives are actually molded by the wishes or the will of the Lord. So when we understand this in practical, that, okay, these things where we have been wronged has actually happened because Krishna wants to teach us a lesson or wants us to, move to a different level. So we should look at these kind of trials and tribulations in that way, like how Parikshit Maharaj, he actually took this opportunity of the curse and very nicely utilized it by hearing to the Srimad Bhagavatam Katha, and then he rose to this platform of Bhava Bhakti. So we see how nicely these devotees are, by their own example, such great kings who were so prosperous and ruling all over the world, in fact, in one way. They exhibit such a nature or such characteristics of humility and forgiveness that these are actually the great examples we need to follow in our own practical lives. So this is what Prabhupada and Srila Rupa Goswami, he's giving this example of Maharaja Parikshit for the first quality which is being discussed, that is forgiveness. And I don't want to go into too many details of this story because I'm sure everybody is very familiar with this Maharaj Parikshit story. The next verse, 22. Krishna Sambandha Vina Kala Vyartha Nahi Yaya. Not a moment should be lost. Every moment should be utilized for Krishna or connected with Him. So in this Avyartha Kalina, that symptom of the Bhava Bhakti is being discussed. Prabhupada gives in the purport, Maharaja Parikshit's expression of anxiety is explained in this verse. He says, let whatever is destined to happen take place. It doesn't matter. Just let me see that not a moment of my time is wasted without a relationship with Krishna. One has to tolerate all obstacles on the path of Krishna consciousness, and one has to see that not a moment of his life is wasted outside of Krishna's service. So here we see that Prabhupada is actually, telling us how Parikshit Maharaj, he also is an example of not wasting time. You know, the symptom of a devotee not wasting time. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the example of Parikshit Maharaj is given for forgiveness, but Prabhupada, he also emphasizes and also shows us how he is also a devotee who could be an example for a devotee who does not waste time. But in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if we move on to the next verse in 23:23, Vagbi Suvanto Manasasvarantaha Tanvanamanto Pianisham Natriptaha Bhaktashravanni Prajala Samagram Ayur Hare Reva Samarpayanti. The translation is, with their words they offer prayers to the Lord. With their minds they always remember the Lord. With their bodies they offer obeisances to the Lord. Despite all these activities they are still not satisfied. This is the nature of pure devotees. Shedding tears from their eyes, they dedicate their whole lives to the Lord's service. This verse is from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya and this is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.29. So this verse, like the devotee's prayers to the Lord, this Hari Bhakti Sudodaya is actually an extract of Naradiya Purana. And these are the prayers of the devotees offered to the Lord. I couldn't find a direct reference to this exact prayer in the Naradiya Purana because I don't have like the original version of the Naradiya Purana. I couldn't find one. So, but we understand that these are the prayers of the devotees which are being offered to the Lord, that they always remember the Lord with their minds, with their bodies, they offer obeisance to the Lord, and then they always dovetail all the activities towards the service of the Lord. So this example is given for the second characteristic or the second symptom of bhava, which is to not waste time. So in this context, I came across a very nice conversation where Srila Prabhupada has with devotees on this Tau beach. So in this conversation, he discusses how a devotee must actually spend time and how he should not waste time. So I'll just read an excerpt of that conversation. So Prabhupada asks, you are all chanting 16 rounds, no? And Prabhupada laughs. Sharadiya, he says, I did at first, but then I slipped back. Prabhupada asks, is it very difficult? Malati, no, we do not know how yet to regulate our time too well. Some days we chant 16 rounds, and then the next day, I don't know what happens. I think I sleep too much. So these are some of the common problems we also face in our sadhana. So that's why I thought this is a very interesting discussion as to how devotees can better use their time. Prabhupada, how many hours you are sleeping? Malati, about 6 to 8. Prabhupada, that is not much. 16 rounds? It takes only 2 hours, 16 rounds. Huh? 2 hours or more than that? Malati, 2 hours is all it takes to do the rounds. Prabhupada, so you have to spend 2 hours for Krishna out of 24 hours. Yes? So girl, there's another girl devotee. Is there something wrong with sleeping 8 hours? Prabhupada says, huh? The girl says, is there something wrong with sleeping 8 hours? She again repeats her question. Prabhupada says, sleeping and eating, this is the material disease. Sleeping, eating, mating. So they should be reduced as much as possible. The girl devotee asks, if you're still tired, Prabhupada says, no, you can sleep till you're refreshed. Somebody is refreshed by sleeping 4 hours. Somebody is refreshed by sleeping 10 hours. Malati says, but we should not sleep when we have devotional service, when we have in place of our devotional service. So Prabhupada replies, so this is a very important instruction Prabhupada gives. No, of course not. Devotional service is first. Malati, so if we miss some sleep, we should do it? Prabhupada says, we should forego sleeping even. The real regulated life is that if 16 rounds is not completed, then we have to forego sleeping. You should take out hours from sleeping. We should be the main thing. We should be, the sentence is cut there. The main thing is that we should always be careful that we are going, we have taken up a very responsible task, Krishna conscious. So, hi Bol, can you hear me?
Yes, Madam, we can hear you.
Sorry, I thought suddenly it cut. So we should be very careful in discharging the duty. The devotee should be much careful that he always sees whether this moment is spoiled or utilized. Avyartha kalatvam. So that's where Srila Prabhupada, you know, he explains. Avyartha kalatvam, that my time may not be wasted. He should be so careful whether my time is being wasted. And time wasted, the time we engage for our bodily necessities, that is wasted. Generally conditioned souls, they are simply wasting their times. Only the period when we are engaged in Krishna consciousness, that is utilized. So we should be very much careful whether the time is being wasted or being utilized. So this is some advice Srila Prabhupada gives. Of course, there's another devotee who follows up saying, sometimes, well, if you slept less, we could do more for Krishna. But at the same time, you would be tired. But then we can regulate it. So Prabhupada says, yes, regulation is important, you know, even with our sleep times and the times we spend in our daily bodily necessities. So with this, I would like to end, notes I had compiled for this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and perhaps the speakers tomorrow can begin with verse 24, which discusses the other remaining characteristics from there on. So thank you very much for your kind attention, and please forgive me if I made any mistakes, and please do feel free to correct me and add your realizations and any comments you may have. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glory to the Prabhupada and all glory to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Thank you very much, Mataji. If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my Dhanavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you, Sukhsagari Mataji, for this very, very wonderful and deep session, Mataji. You have given a very detailed explanation of each and everything, Mataji. I have wrote it down, and the nectar of devotion, and what is the waves in the eastern ocean, what is the first wave, second wave, third wave, everything, Mataji, and the Vairi Sandhana Bhakti, Raghana Bhakti. And I like the story, Mataji, of the neophyte devotee the whole night she is dancing and raised from the neophyte stage to the Raganuga Bhakti Mataji. It was very inspiring, and this is the first time I'm hearing. Before also I heard with the 64 art forms we can reach to Krishna, and this is a practical example I have risen from this class, Mataji. With the dance art form also we can raise to a bhakti platform, a bhakti. Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing this very nice pastime, Mataji. And I like the conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Malati also, Mataji. It gives more detailed information how to utilize our day-to-day life, 24 hours of our time in the practicing of our Krishna consciousness, Mataji. I am very indebted to you, Mataji, for this beautiful and very practical class, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, coming on this call and giving your association and enlightening on this topic, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. These are all the teachings of Prabhupada, which were actually given from the lotus mouth of Srila Rupa Goswami. So I'm just parroting. So we are grateful to each other for our associations and how we can advance in bhakti. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Sukhsagri Mataji. Thank you so much. It was really a well-prepared and well-presented class, the way you started and then you went forward. It was really very nice class, Mataji. Thank you so much, and thank you for the wonderful examples you narrated, as Supriya Mataji already said. I don't want to just repeat it again, but just want to be grateful to you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind attention. These are all examples Srila Rupa Goswami actually cites in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I will, in fact, you know, it's like a research thesis in one sense. When you read Prabhupada's NOD book, it's like examples after examples, you know, he's quoting from the scriptures. And it actually fascinated me so much. I mean, it's like deep work there. It's like deep research there, you know. I'm sure anybody who does research or PhD, you know, they will identify very much with this kind of a work of Srila Rupa Goswami. So we are all eternally grateful to all our Guru Vargas.
Yes, Mataji, very true. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Sukhasagari Mataji, so grateful to you. Such a nice, very well presented class, and it was so much to the point, directly from the works of Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada's compilation, with the most beautiful examples. So much work and so much effort you have put in, and we are so grateful for this, because honestly, I will never get to sit and read all of this. But when we hear from people like you, it makes a huge difference, Mataji. Thank you so much. Extremely grateful for this class. And it was so clear and so crisp. And this is all we want, right? We just want to know what the verse is saying. And it's so much to the point. Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful class. Wonderful class. All glories to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Preeti Mataji, for always encouraging me. And like Indulata Mataji said in one of her text messages, you empower devotees. So I very strongly believe that it's just purely by the mercy of devotees that I can, you know, parrot something which Prabhupada has already given us. And just this one thing I would like to add, which actually grabbed my attention, is that it's written in the Prabhupada says that you know, many scriptures actually discuss the devotional practices of devotees. You know, we see many examples of devotees, but only the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives us a detailed explanation from the bhava stage. Like no other scripture actually gives us this kind of a treatise or this kind of you know, in-depth study. Starting from the bhava to the prema stage. So no other scripture actually does this kind of justice which Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu does. So it is we are all ever indebted to Srila Prabhupada for, you know, showing us these kind of scriptures which exist. I mean, practically speaking for myself, I would know of this if not for Srila Prabhupada. So we are all, like I mentioned, this is something that really, really caught my attention, because we do see so many nice pastimes discussed in Bhagavatam, but we don't realize the actual stages of bhakti until, you know, we read such scriptures by acharyas who have delved so deep and done all the work for us and given us everything in a platter. So this actually is what motivated me throughout when I was preparing for this class. So this one thought that, you know, how benevolent or how magnanimous these devotees are, that they have taken everything and given us in a very nice, easy to understand kind of, I mean, I don't deny it is very difficult to comprehend these actual emotions and ecstasies which are being discussed, but at least we know that something like this exists and in what context, when, you know, with the examples of devotees and things like that, at least we kind of get to understand a bit, if not a lot, though, I mean, personally speaking, we are nowhere near that platform. So this is something that really, really touched my heart when I was preparing for this class.
Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So nicely said, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, very much for another class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here. Vanja Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Yenvaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय शिव प्रभुपाद की जय शुक्र सागरी माता जी की जय
जय
ऑल द डिवोटीज की जय हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू माता जी थैंक यू सो मच
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.